Thank you, Art. I'd like to welcome all our guests today as well. Thank you for visiting us. It's nice to see some new faces. So I know everyone's excited about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is truly the highlight of our year, isn't it? This is the capstone of God's holy days for us, and it's just an exciting time, the fall holy day season with the Day of Atonement and trumpets, and then with the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. The Feast of Tabernacles has so many rich and deep meanings, and it's a reminder of us how we're so temporary on the earth. We stay in these temporary dwellings for 8 days, and in ancient Israel had some temporary dwellings that they created, but just reminds us that we are temporary on this earth. Then it also reminds us of the thousand-year plan that God has for all humanity, that there's going to be a time of peace when God's going to usher in his kingdom. It's a time that we try to live a peaceful time during the Feast of Tabernacles, and we try to live that and exemplify what Christ wants us to live during that time. It's going to be a time when man's flawed governments will be put down, the unjust and wicked governments, and there have been some extremely wicked governments in man's history, but we'll have a perfect government that'll be set up on the earth. God also creates the Feast of Tabernacles for us to have a good family time, because really his plan is all about family, isn't it? It's all about family, and we can create some good memories and everything about the Feast of Tabernacles, and some of these will last a lifetime and perhaps even through eternity for us. We've created some good memories with our families and friends that we've had at the Feast of Tabernacles. For those of you that have done this for a number of years, you know what I'm talking about. But for those of you that are new, you'll be able to experience that beginning this year, and that's a true blessing that God's opened your minds to this, and he's sharing his truth with you and opening this special blessing up to you. But today I'd like to focus on one area about the Feast of Tabernacles, and that God's creating his feast to be expansive. I do say it's one area, but that really creates a limitless word. It's not limited to small or one thought or one idea or one individual, even though God's holy days do revolve around and focus on Jesus Christ. But as we'll see as I move through the message today, that it's really about a lot more than that. God shows us through his Feast of Tabernacles how to have an expansive mindset like his. So he's teaching us to expand our minds. It isn't all about limitations, and he shows us a time of abundance and a time that we can share with each other. You know, God has unlimited resources, and his love and generosity towards us seems almost endless and limitless. He has the ability to create and extend and expand beyond what we can actually ever imagine. The Feast of Tabernacles is truly a part of his expansive plan that's revealed through the holy day season, and it's a 7-day feast, not just like the feast days of this world. They usually have one day that they have their feast, and one in particular I'm thinking of is a time of year they have this 15-minute frenzy of opening up the gifts really fast and then an empty feeling afterwards. But God gives us this feast that's very expansive. It's a 7-day feast. We don't have that quick fizzle, and that's because it's not the feasts of this world are not God ordained, but this feast is God ordained. The feasts of this world are man-made, and they're derived from false worship, and they're built on the wrong premises. What God makes holy is blessed. It's special because God put his name on it. He's blessed it and made it holy. And only God can do that. And because of our obedience, God will bless those of us that come to honor him and celebrate his feast. For our first scripture today, let's turn to Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 15. When I go through the scriptures today, look at the words. When I read the words many, all, and full, all of those are words of expansion. And God uses those in his scripture when he's talking about his feasts. Deuteronomy 16, 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. Yeah, that means everyone. Everyone, all inclusive, including the Gentiles, including the servants. That list is long. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in your produce and all your work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. I want to emphasize the last sentence as well. God promises to bless you so that you surely rejoice. When God says it, it's a promise. Then we will rejoice, not might rejoice. No doubts about it. There's no doubts in that. God tells us that we can rejoice in that. Next, let's turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23:33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. See how God's expansive mindset, he even adds an 8th day there. So it's not only 7 days, it's an 8-day time period that he expands things to. This 8th day we'll see focuses on expanding things even more for mankind and God's plan. So even that 8th day is about expansion. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon this day, upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which you give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take on the first day the boughs of branches, goodly trees, branches and palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. So we see that God expands his celebrations to an 8th day, called the 8th day, or the last great day, as some of us call it. The 8th day caps off the feast with a high note for all mankind. It's a day that pictures the expansion for all humanity into God's way. It's a day that pictures a time when they can be joined into God's family, those who accept and obey God after the 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ. It begins after the second resurrection for those people throughout all history since the beginning of mankind. Those that never knew God's way and who never had his Holy Spirit. These people will be taught and given the opportunity to live God's way with the help of God's Holy Spirit, with you and me, and with the removal of Satan the devil as well. Satan won't have that influence as we just celebrated during the Day of Atonement this past week. I'll just read this scripture, Revelation 20, verses 4 through 5. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Now this is the second resurrection. This is when those people will have that opportunity, and that's what the 8th day represents. All these people without favoritism, without partiality, like the partiality we see in the world today, they'll have the opportunity to choose God's ways and to live forever in his kingdom and to be a part of God's family. It's truly a day of expansion and inclusion for this world. Look at the contrast of the very limiting false version of Christianity has today that some religions teach. I know Andy had touched on it a little bit, but just think, if you were born maybe on, here's my mindset, thinking on a little island in the South Pacific somewhere in the 15th century, and you never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and you never accepted him, and you lived and died, according to their theology, you would be burning in hell for eternity. What kind of a God would do that? They'd be doomed to the lake of fire forever. And that's false, it's negative, and it portrays a limited God, not an expanding God, the God that we know, not a God that has a big plan and an expansive plan. How cold would God be to do that just because these people never heard of his name and just gave an acceptance about the name of Jesus Christ? You know, we're so blessed to know God's loving plan, his expansive plan for all humanity. It's going to include everyone that lived in the past, everyone today, and those who are born in the future as well. And God has the desire to see every person saved and to come to know him. He desires for us to be a part of his family. The only stipulation is that we do have to respond once we receive that knowledge, the knowledge that he provides to us through his Holy Spirit when he opens our eyes and he takes those scales off. God will never force anyone to live his way. So it is by choice. They'll have to respond. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, Jesus Christ died for every person ever born, and God's desire is to have every person saved if possible. It's not just a few. It's not limited. And, you know, this is a powerful and revealing scripture when you think about it. It really tells us about the personality of God and how he thinks, how he wants to expand that. He doesn't have that limitation. Jesus Christ allowed, his sacrifice allowed for us to have the hope for the future. And without Christ's sacrifice, we wouldn't even have a future. And he did that for all mankind. It's a part of that expansive plan. It's all-inclusive and it's expansive. His sacrifice was all-inclusive and expansive. The scripture says that God desires for all to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, a desire is a craving. I mean, have you ever craved something? I have this strange craving for potato chips and chip dip. I don't know. I just love that. And, of course, that's what kind of provides the little gut that I have going here. But Lisa usually reminds me to stop eating that. And every time I purchase a bag of potato chips, she'll remind me of that. But have you ever had that craving, especially ladies when you're pregnant? Have you ever had that? But God has that desire. I mean, it's a craving. It's a longing from the heart, and it's something that is very strong inside you. It's not half-hearted or a whim or anything, but God has that desire to really bring people and every person, if at all possible, into his kingdom. It's with great care and a deep longing. And the beginning of blessings starts with the knowledge of God. That is the beginning of blessings for all of us. Until our minds were open, we couldn't even start to take a step forward. We had to at least first see that before we could ever take a step forward. However, that person must act on that knowledge of the blessings and begin to live that way of life. And it opens the door of good things for the individual. It starts the blessings in your personal life. So if God desires this, perhaps we should too for other people. He desires that all people come to the knowledge of the truth. So what about our enemies? Just kind of a side note. So I think it'd probably be a good thing in our prayers to maybe pray for that day for them to have their minds open to have that knowledge. That's the beginning of blessings for those people who hate us. So we should long for that day to have them know about God and to have that opportunity, the same opportunity that we have, because they don't know right now. That's probably the reason why they're acting the way they do. They don't have God's Holy Spirit like we do, and they don't have that knowledge. That starts all good things for people. Jesus Christ died for us even though we were rebellious and we were sinners, and he did that before we even turned to him. Some of us were not so nice before we came into God's church and before we knew of his ways, or at least even before we were obedient to his ways. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, still rotten people, Christ died for us." He still wanted to do that despite how bad we could be sometimes. And he did. Let's turn to Zechariah 14. Probably the most read scripture during this time of year, right around the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19. "And it shall come to pass that everyone," that expansion, everyone, "who is left of all," another expanding word, "the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain." So they'll all be invited to God's Feast of Tabernacles. Their minds will begin to be opened. God will include them, but they have to do that on their own free will. They have to want to do that. Verse 18, "If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to the Feast of Tabernacles." Here God gives the nations, those who refuse to keep the feast, kind of a godly nudge, doesn't he? So I'm not going to give him a little rain for a little bit here. When we were kids, did your parents kind of give you a nudge in that way, maybe by taking something away from you? Maybe you were a teenager and they took away the car, or maybe when you were younger, a toy or something like that. God's doing the same thing. I mean, he's having patience and he's helping them to learn and doing it step by step. It's not that they're wicked at that time. Maybe if at a period of time, then there might be a deep rebellion. But at this point, God's going to give them some space. He's going to help them come along. So he's going to give them that nudge. I think we're in verse 19. "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So God withholds the rain, but God won't force anyone to live his way. He'll only encourage them to do the right things. We all have to make up our own minds whether or not we're going to obey God. It'll be the same way in God's kingdom. He won't take that free will away. But he will do things to get our attention, just like our parents did. He withholds the rains from the nations which refuse to keep the feast. And I think the drought really is something that would get a person's attention. I mean, drought damage, lack of drinking water, a little hunger and thirst. I think that'd be enough to get my attention. It sure does on the Day of Atonement, so I couldn't imagine for an extended period of time. But God's expanding plan is for all the nations of the earth. It's not just for ancient Israel. It's just not for us in the church today. It's going to expand to everyone. God loves his whole creation, and he'll get their attention so that they'll heed and they can be in his family. They'll have that opportunity to live through eternity and be his children. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." All the nations will seek to go up to the mountain of the Lord. They'll go to learn of God. They'll learn to obey him. And after learning his way, they will walk in his paths. They will obey. Expanded obedience as well. So once they learn that way, they'll see the benefits of it. They'll start to keep God's way. They'll have a desire, and their desire will turn to God. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles has been such a wonderful part of my life, and I hope it has been yours too, for anyone who has kept it for a number of years. And for those who haven't, I hope this feast will be extra special for you this year. But let the people at the feast know, if it's your first feast, let people know that it's your first feast. Give them an opportunity to show you how to celebrate God's feast, because I think most people at the feast are eager to share the feast with new people who first come into to God's way. I think that's part of the exciting thing, is to share that, the experience and the memories with new people. I thank God for this special time each year, and I couldn't even fathom not keeping God's holy days or his feasts. It's been so good in my life, and it's created some of the best memories that I've ever had in my entire life since I've been a child. You know, God planned a way for us to have more resources during this time of year, that it can be an expansive time of abundance, and it pictures his kingdom. We'll also be blessed to be with more of God's people during this time, more than any other time of the year. We'll be able to hear more messages in 8 days than we usually hear, at least in person. I know we have online today, but at least we'll be together hearing God's messages, which we don't get that opportunity in such a short period of time during the year. We'll be able to sharpen more iron with our brethren. Iron sharpens iron, and we have more spending money than we usually have. So it's all expansive, and if that isn't even enough, there'll be more time to do the things. We won't be tied up with our jobs. We won't be tied up with our day-to-day responsibilities that we do at home. So God's expanded even our time during his feast. So we get to spend the full 8 days with people of like mind. Remember, none of us are perfect yet. But for the most part, I think most everyone tries to make the feast a good time for everybody else as well and sharing it. So let's make sure that we all set good examples this year. And this really is a time that God is showcasing his people. And I know that people in the world do watch what we're like. I mean, they do watch. When you mention anything about church or Christianity, they're going to be quick to judge. The world's pretty... has a pretty dim view on Christians today. I think it's getting worse and worse as we go along. So I think it's a good time for us as God's true people to really showcase what God's plan is really like and what we're really like with God's Holy Spirit. It actually is an opportunity for us. But let's be on our guard and make sure that we're doing the right things to do that during the feast. So if we start our days, our mornings with Bible study and prayer, I think that's really helpful as well. So before we go out, that we're filled with God's Spirit and that we're able to handle any situation that we might come into. So stay connected with God during the feast by doing that. And I know we'll get a lot of messages during the feast, and I think that I emphasize a little more prayer because we are going to hear God's word as well, but make sure that we don't leave each day without saying our prayers. I think that's really important to have a good feast. God gave us this extra time to have fun as well, and to build on stronger relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Take that time to be with others, to share with others. We have extra money that we normally don't have. Make sure that if you do have a little extra money, share that with other people who you might run into in the feast that might not be as blessed as you are. Let's next turn to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 27. So God gave us a plan to get to the feast. And this was a part of the plan. You shall truly tithe, saving a tenth, all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and of your new wine and your oil and the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn of the Lord your God always. So it is a time that we're going to go learn of God. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry a tithe, or a place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far for you. When the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. Who says God isn't fun? He gives you money to go to the feast, and it is his money. But he just told you to save that. He's told you to save that tenth and go have a good time on him. God wants us to have an abundant life. He's generous. Since God owns everything, our second tithe is his to begin with. He tells us to go out and spend it on whatever our heart desires, within godly parameters, of course. And he wants us to rejoice at the feast. And he knows in this life that we have stresses, we have burdens, we have trials. So he designed a time for us to get away during his holy day plan so we could draw closer to him and his people and be in a millennial setting so we could refresh and renew. And that's what the feast is. The millennium is going to be a time of renewal. And that's what the feast represents. It's a time of renewal. And God knew that. We had to get out of our environment. We have to go somewhere else so that we can renew and refresh. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures how life should be in so many ways. God's giving us a taste of his kingdom during that time. And his kingdom will too come together daily to worship him, just like we do at the Feast of Tabernacles, rejoice and be happy together, just like at the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll be with people that have the same godly goals in life, people with like minds. It's picturing God's kingdom. The Feast of Tabernacles is picturing his kingdom, and that's the way the kingdom's going to be. It'll be a family environment. We'll feel safe. We'll feel like we've arrived home, because home is the place where God is. And God will be with man. Jesus Christ will ultimately be here first, and then God the Father later. You know, and that's a sense, I think, that God's given us to want to be with him, to wherever God is. I think that's a sense of home that he's given us, to always want to be with him. And where God is, that is home. That's home for us. The knowledge of God will expand in the kingdom, and so will at his feast. Let's turn to Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. I know none of these scriptures are new to most of you, but they're just so applicable, and it is meet in due season. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear will graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in any my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's that word again, expansive, full of the knowledge of the Lord. Not halfway, but full of the knowledge of God. Have you ever looked out into an ocean and just seen how expansive it is? To me, that's one of the most inspiring things in life. I just love looking out there and just seeing it just never ending. It just goes on and on and on. It just kind of always reminds me of eternity with God. It just seems like it just never ends. And to me, that's a very inspiring thing. I know that we had some conventioners here in Cleveland a couple of years back, and they couldn't believe that Lake Erie was so big. They said, I didn't even know you had a lake that big. I mean, they were thinking of this little thing where you could see the shore on the other side, which is actually Canada. But they could not believe that the lake was that big. They said that they felt like they were on the ocean because it was so big. They couldn't fathom that Lake Erie was that big. And I always remembered that. I kind of laughed at the little coverage that Cleveland ever gets across the nation. But I thought that was kind of revealing. Next, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. kind of caps, is the capstone of the knowledge of God. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. What? Not teach of God? Well, of course, if you stop there, for all shall know me. So there's going to be a day where people will not have to be taught anymore because they will be filled with the knowledge of God. Do you know what that means? That means that we'll have an intimate relationship of knowing God. We'll have that one-on-one relationship with God. It's not going to no longer be book knowledge or someone standing up here telling you. It's going to be living it on a day-to-day basis. From the least to the greatest, so there is no partiality. From the least to the greatest. You got to love that. God really talks about no partiality. Look at the partiality that we experience in the world, in the workplace, in politics, in school, you name it. This world is filled up with partiality. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Knowledge has expanded to the point that no longer need teachers. And we look to that time at the feast. We look to this time. So let's keep in mind during the feast that God is unlimited. He's not limited to our human thinking, but always expanding, growing, generous, and inclusive. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by distance. He's not limited by physical resources. He can even create resources. I mean, he created the earth. He created us. He can create them in unlimited quantities. For our last scripture, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Turn to Matthew 14, verses 14 through 21. Matthew 14, 14 through 21. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, bring them to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes, so that they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So God is expansive. He's not limited by things like we are. He's generous and he's expansive, and that was a very loving act that he gave. He filled everyone spiritually, speaking to them, and physically. But that's a lot of food. 5,000 people besides the women and children. We can learn from this example at the feast. And if we have finances, again, we can extend to others. Maybe take somebody to dinner, share with somebody, step out and expand your circle of friends as well. Be expansive this feast. Our caring, loving, and generous God is a God that we celebrate at the Feast of Tabernacles. He fed the multitudes, physically and spiritually. Let's go and worship our great and wondrous and generously expansive God and praise him for 8 expanded and awesome days. See how God expands your life throughout the year as well as the feast this year. Look for opportunities to expand the feast to others. Share the time together. Take in the expanded messages. Sharing the expanded food and drink, not in your waistline though. Sharing the expanded finances and expand the light that God shines in you as well at the Feast of Tabernacles. Have a safe and blessed feast.